unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees, for the maples want more sunlight and the oaks ignore their pleas.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. We're entering hour two of the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listen, if you've been looking for a way to contribute and help the folks that have been harmed by the wildfires in Southern California, Civic Media's got you covered. If you have the inclination and the means and you'd like to contribute, Civic Media has a link on our website to the Convoy of Hope, a nonprofit helping to provide immediate relief to those in need. You can just head on over to the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us. Click on the banner for more information and donate there. Right now, we want to address another urgent issue that has come into sharp relief since Donald Trump took office on Monday. And I've got a great guest to help explain it all to me and to you, make us all a little smarter. His name is Pat Sobkowski. Pat is an assistant adjunct professor in the political science department, also a lawyer at Marquette University. Welcome to the show, Pat. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. I'm happy to spend some time with you and your audience today and see what we can clear up, if anything.
Yeah, let's do it. So what we're talking about with Pat today, everybody, is Trump's executive order that purports to do away with birthright citizenship. So let's start at the beginning, Pat. What is birthright citizenship?
So birthright citizenship comes from Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. In fact, it's the first sentence of the first section of the 14th Amendment. And what it says, pretty, I think, straightforwardly, is that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. That's, I think, pretty self-explanatory just based on a reading of the text of the 14th Amendment.
That's so important because it is so straightforward. And what is equally important is where it comes from. Where did the 14th Amendment come from? Why was Section 1 establishing birthright citizenship needed? What was its original purpose?
Yeah, well, of course, the 14th Amendment is ratified in 1868, and it's the product of really sort of the culmination of the first, 80 or so years of the American Republic. But it comes primarily out of the Civil War, right? And preceding the Civil War, there's an infamous case decided by the U.S. Supreme Court called Dred Scott versus Sanford. And in that case, among other things, the Supreme Court, through Roger Taney, who is the Chief Justice at that time, said that African Americans were not citizens of the United States, and in fact, that they could never be citizens of the United States because it wasn't intended for them to be able to obtain citizenship by the framers of the Constitution, because at that time, of course, many members of the African American community were enslaved, and slaves were not seen under the law as persons. They were seen as personal property of their owners.
Yeah, not to put too fine a point on it, but it was required to start to undo the very direct harm to the people whose labor built the United States from day one and created the economy and the power within the United States for us to fight the Revolutionary War, right? For us to grow and develop and become, in part, the country that we are today. And so that's, again, every time we talk about, and Donald Trump throws around nonsense about birthright citizenship, it does us all, I think, a world of good to remember why it was created in the first place. So let's turn now, Pat, if you will, to Donald Trump's purported, I don't even know what you would call it, nullification of the 14th Amendment by his executive order. Start with the basics. Can an executive order undo a portion of the Constitution?
No, it cannot. That's very clear, at least to me. The president cannot contravene any provision of the Constitution. Constitution, much less something that's so fundamental as birthright citizenship, by simply signing an executive order. We have a very definite set out process for undoing or constitutional amendments or amending the Constitution. That's in Article 5 of the Constitution. You can go and read it if you have access to a computer.
Right? Like, look it up. So why would Donald Trump do this? Like, if he can't if he can't actually just be like, oh, by executive order, I just rub out Section 1 of Article 14 of our Constitution. If that doesn't have any legal meaning, what's the point?
So that's a really good question. And there are a number of answers I think you could arrive at. One is, this is just sort of a symbolic measure taken by Trump. We know this about executive orders anyway. A lot of executive orders are symbolic in nature, right? They have limited reach. There's limited there are limited things that executive orders can achieve. And so one way to look at this is, it's just Trump maybe appealing to his base and trying to, quote unquote, deliver on a campaign promise, right? Or at least some of the rhetoric he's, engaged in up until this point. The other way you could think about it, and maybe it's of a piece of what I just talked about, is it's a way to get a conversation going. I just saw about an hour before I joined the show that a Republican member of the House of Representatives introduced a bill called the Birthright Citizenship Act. And that bill simply seeks to codify Trump's executive order into law. It would be a statute.
But a statute can't trump the Constitution either.
No, of course it can't. But if Congress were to pass this law and President Trump signs it into law, that would, in theory, make it a little bit more difficult to, when it comes to something like judicial review, to have that statute struck down than maybe just an executive order. And it also would show, at least in theory, that Congress is on board with what Trump is trying to do here. So that's the second way maybe we could look at this, is it's Trump trying to get a conversation started among his, or among Congress.
I'm going to call that a very generous and kind reading of his executive order, Patrick. One of the things that I think is more challenging about it is that perhaps it's about conversation, but I think more pointedly, when seen in totality with other moves that Trump has made this week, and I'm going to talk about the directive from the Department of Justice to local law enforcement and the threat of criminal prosecution of law enforcement if they don't violate the 10th Amendment and help ICE execute federal law, which technically state and local governments aren't ever supposed to do, that given the meta context here, that it is actually intended to create an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty for people that are living here. I've fielded questions on the show and from friends privately that are like, hey, my parents were immigrants and I was born here. Is my citizenship going away? Pat, let's just address that very practical question. If you were born here and you are a citizen, Donald Trump's executive order cannot strip anyone of their citizenship. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Federal law sets out a very relatively, let's say, limited number of circumstances where somebody can be denaturalized. One of those, for example, is if you leave the United States and you go and enlist in a foreign country's military.
Right.
That sets up some circumstances where you can be denaturalized and then subject to deportation, but the president cannot just simply sign an executive order and strip people who already have it of their citizenship.
Okay, so folks out there, please breathe easy. That isn't happening. Also, I'm reading some breaking news right now. A federal judge in the District of Oregon, a Seattle-based judge, a Reagan-appointed judge, has just issued a temporary restraining order blocking Donald Trump's executive order on this, calling it, quote, blatantly unconstitutional. Sounds like you concur with the federal judge out of Oregon, Patrick.
Yes. I mean, we're going to see legal arguments develop as these cases make their way through the federal courts. I think it's 22 states have filed lawsuits against the federal government challenging this executive order on constitutional grounds. We're going to see legal arguments develop, and so not that I would be persuaded again or to agreeing with Trump and his lawyer's position on this, but we'll see how these legal arguments develop. But right now, I have not seen a good or even relatively plausible legal argument in favor of this attempt to end birthright citizenship.
Folks, that's Pat Sobkowski. He is an assistant adjunct professor in the political science department at Marquette University, helping us understand the ridiculousness of Donald Trump's executive order, trying to, you know, wipe away a portion of our Constitution. Pat, if you can't answer this, I'm going to ask you to. If you can't, I get it. A lot of what I have been reading in both the executive orders, again, this DOJ directive, other directives that have been going out to executive branch agency department heads, are what I would call generously real thin on the law, not filled with rigorous legal analysis. Is that something people should be keeping an eye on? And we got about a minute left.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we can have a conversation about the state of the federal courts in 2025 and whether, you know, particularly the U.S. Supreme Court is in fact operating on law and not simply politics. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to present something that looks like a legal argument in order to win in court. And I have not seen anything that even resembles legal argumentation on the part of Trump or his lawyers yet. Again, maybe we'll see something like that, but as of right now, I have not seen anything.
Yeah, it's pretty vacuous. A generic appeal to Article I executive branch authority doesn't really get it done when you actually have to make an argument. Pat Sobkowski, thanks so much for making time to help us all get smarter. Love to have you back sometime. Folks, you've been listening to Pat Sobkowski, an assistant adjunct professor in the political science department at Marquette University. Keep it locked. I'm going to dive into Trump's threats to law enforcement in your neighborhood right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio.